Call to order. Roll call, please.
Congressman Bickhorst? Congressman Plotz?
Present.
Congressman Baker?
Present.
Congresswoman Pratt? Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Here.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Present.
We have a quorum. Prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. As we go about the work of our Congress, give us strong minds, kind hearts, to do the will of the people. Be with us as we make these decisions. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Next item on the agenda is approval of minutes. Yes, Chief? Okay, I'll look at it. Okay, I'll go back. Bye. Yes?
Motion to approve minutes of September 10th, 2018.
Motion's been made to approve the minutes. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying any discussion. All those in favor signify by saying yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? Minutes are approved. Next item on the agenda is ONCA 1845, an act to provide an appropriation to the legislative branch of the Osage Nation for fiscal year 2019 in the amount of $2,466,111 to establish an alternate effective date. Sponsor is Congresswoman Whitehorn. Congresswoman Whitehorn, you have the floor.
Our Congressional Affairs Committee puts the budget together for Congress as part of their duties. It's landed in this form and open for discussion at the table. I am not a member of the CA committee, so the numbers that were presented in the budget, I believe, are relatively close to last year, but we do have some members from the Congressional Affairs Committee on this committee that may be able to speak to our budget better than I.
Anybody? Yes. No.
I have one.
Yes.
Has this been amended? The amount. Has that amount been amended? I thought someone talked about the amount.
What's been put into this, in the legislative forum, is a budget that was submitted by the Congressional Affairs Committee.
Dated so, when?
Pardon me?
Dated here. When it's dated.
Do you have a copy of the of our legislative budget? I don't have a copy of that right now.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I believe the date is July 16th.
I also believe that's correct.
Madam Chair. Are there any other questions?
I do. I have some.
Yes.
I want to see the revenue and expenditure sheets.
Well, one thing, is this what you want?
No, I want to see the our financials. But let's, I want to look at this for a minute as well. Scroll down. Employee benefits, payroll taxes. Where's the breakdown? The worksheet is at the very bottom.
Yeah, the worksheet's about that.
Part three.
Has that been revised since the July 14th submission?
Anybody know?
It is not.
Okay, I'll say something I know about this. I see that this is budgeted for the employee. What they've told us, they're budgeting the employee contribution for nine members. I have a request into the Attorney General to tell us what amount we are supposed to budget for elected officials, executive staff, and judges subject to retention. She says she's getting me an official opinion. I asked her to try to get it by this morning, but she didn't get it. So when I get it, I'll pass it out. But what's the nine number versus, so we're going to have four, is this for OFPR too? Okay, so there's three full-time employees who should be the 12,272. Then how are the other, how are the 12 members addressed? Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. They are six members that are budgeted for to take the income or cash equivalent amount, and in your salaries and wages line item, that's where they are also budgeted. Per request 3 years ago, I believe this is the way we started budgeting, six members to take the cash equivalent and six members to take health insurance, because we are unaware at any given time how members of Congress determine that benefit. Congressional rules and policy and procedure, I believe, state that members can change according to circumstances. If they have a qualifying life event, they can change during open enrollment. So this is the way that CA, I believe, 3 years ago decided to start budgeting. This is consistent with that. I believe last year you had 10 members because we anticipated a fourth member of staff. This year we're back down to three. Six members of Congress plus three members of Senate.
There was a proposal to put in the policy and procedure manual that the members would elect when they came on board so that we could see that from an initial standpoint. Did that get considered? Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe that was considered by Congressional Affairs. It was not adopted. There is already a congressional policy and procedure that directs that process. Is in line with the current policy or procedure of the association Congress.
So the policy and procedure says six and six?
No, the amount. My apologies.
And the other question was, oh, I asked Mr. Zahn how they were budgeting for the Office of the Chief so that this could be consistent, and he said that the treasurer told him to budget all the officials regardless of whether they were taking the cash equivalent or the benefits under benefits. So I will reconfirm that with the treasurer. Or did somebody else reconfirm it? Yes.
I believe that would be inconsistent. If the individual is taking the cash equivalent, it would be subject to whatever withholdings are being withheld. So therefore, it would need to be in the salaries and wages line, not the employee benefits line.
I would agree with you. However, we've got some inconsistency here, so I will definitely find out from the treasurer what we're supposed to be doing. Yes. Of course, if we've got the number, just a second, if we've got the number up here and it's not the right number, then it doesn't make sense anyway. Yes.
A level of consistency with how the executive branch is doing it and how the treasurers or the accounting offices applying it. Consistency would be great. I think it's our duty to make sure that we're doing it in accordance with law. And there is a law in place that specifies how it's supposed to be applied to the budget. It's becoming apparent to me that I don't know if it's HR or accounting or both, but they're treating us more like an employee rather than an elected official in accordance with the law. And I say that because I have had conversations with Congresswoman Edwards leading up to reviewing our budget about the benefits line item. And we ended up having a brief conversation with the Attorney General. She was going to look into it. I still want to look at the revenue and expenditure sheets. The 6 and 6, kind of equal, or dividing it up 6 and 6 for extenuating circumstances or life events, whatever you mentioned, to see if that's working from a budgetary standpoint. If it's working from a budgetary standpoint, the application of the law could still be carried out. We just need to make sure that the funding is there in each line item. So, Madam Clerk, are you able to find the our financials? May I see that, please?
Yeah. What are these dated?
These are through July 31st.
Okay, thank you.
Let's see, would we be under L? Would that be the best way to find us?
We're program number 4.
Program number 4, so we're way back there. Other up and down deal.
You can go here and scroll pretty quick. Yeah, be cool with that. And then scroll down.
Yes.
I'd just like to point out that the way that this budget is presented is absolutely consistent with the way the executive branch is budgeted. If you turn your attention to the Office of the Principal Chief, they have budgeted for 5.5 members at $12,272 in their initial budget, and they have budgeted for $12,272 at 3.5 members in their IDC budget. When those two are combined, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 employees are totally accounted for. That would be the Principal Chief, Assistant Principal Chief, Chief of Staff, Deputy Chief of Staff, Chief Executive Advisor, Legislative Analyst, Executive Staff Assistant, Senior Advisor to the Principal Chief, and Executive Administrative Assistant.
And they budgeted them all in benefits.
Yes.
That's why I said that based on what we just said, which is if you're taking the cash equivalent and it should be in wages, then that's wrong. But the AGs, that's why I asked the AG to straighten this out, because Edwards on this or Potts on this is really not the last word. The last word, of course, would be the court, but the second to last word in an advisory capacity is the AG. Go ahead, yes.
Well, we can look at that while we're on this. I'll just say, I've not gotten into other members' business and really seen what other people are doing. Monetary equivalent to me always meant the monetary equivalent of the health benefit for one individual, which is around $650 to $700.
Actually, it's $700.36.
$700.36. So to me, that would be $700 times 12 members times 12 months. I would like to hear any other application or how it could be any other way than that. I understand the six budget, six one way, and then six taking the health benefit, and how six could be in salaries and wages and six could be in benefits, but that's not how it's being done. And I don't want to muddy this water. We've got a new Congress, and this is our opportunity to get it right. And that's all I want to do.
$700.36 times 12 members is $8,404 annually. If you do that times six, the line item for each of those, if you did it six and six, would be $50,425.92. What do we have written down? What do we have in the bill? $110,000.48. You've got to do 12,272 times three, though. 272 times three.
But that's also, that should be 15 because we have three employees.
I know, but I'm saying 12,272 is what you budget for employees. 12,272 because the nation pays for subsidizes employee insurance to the tune of $12,272 times three. That'd be $36,816 plus $50,425.92 would be $87,241.92. Follow me?
Yes.
But that...
I'm not a calculator, but I'm following what you're saying.
I'm not one either, but my phone is what my phone's like. And then... In wages, can we go to the wage up at the wages? That would be instead of 73,626, it would be 50,426, rounding up. So that would be 20. But I really think we ought to determine, I mean, at this point, we ought to determine who's taking the cash equivalent and who's taking the insurance and make it, as best we can, accurate. Yes?
I agree. And I don't know through the orientation process or what the new members have done as far as talking with HR, or we don't have a budget analyst, or maybe talking to Congressman Potts about how it's being applied, or even someone like myself or Congresswoman Edwards, who's been here for a while. I don't know what the new members have been.
We've never known, as far as I know, who elected what. That's why it came out six and six.
And that's not what I'm getting at. I don't necessarily want to know that. I'm just saying, as long as new members have been informed of what their options are and make a decision, we can budget accordingly. I don't know if that's happening.
And I just want to make a comment that the new members, as far as I know, I don't know, maybe some of them were given more information, but we received about that much information on everything, benefit-wise.
So maybe we should try to, have you guys already done your elections or not?
As far as I know, I did. I said I want to carry on like I am, so I'm hoping that that's what happened.
All right. Without knowing what, thank you, without really wanting to know who did what, it seems we ought to say, are you elect, maybe the question is, do you elect to take the cash equivalent? And if the answer is yes, maybe you just send out a memo, that'll tell us the number. Yes.
Someone like Congresswoman Stapler, who is an employee, I think they're entitled to do just that. Someone like Congressman Big Horse, who's new, I would be glad to visit with any of the members of Congress and let them know from my perspective what's available and why I do what, and I'm sure Congresswoman Edwards would too. You could talk to HR and get a different perspective. But I feel compelled to talk to the individual members and say, hey, here's what's available, and here's what I do and why, and here's whatever. That's my own opinion.
You can see we have no, yes.
The problem I have is with that cost of $12,000 per employee. If the rate is $700.36 per month per employee, that does not come to $7,000.
No, it's $700.36 a month for elected officials. The employees get subsidized by the nation.
The employees do get subsidized by the nation.
That's the equivalent, that's the $12,271. And it's calculated at the family rate.
That's why I was getting ready to say
all
that's
employees.
Why?
Why?
You'll have to ask somebody in that prepared this worksheet for that. That's why I've been saying that these are inflated numbers for business. Probably why you have money left over, because these are inflated and always have been inflated. Instead of trying to determine a mean for what that might be, because even though you can get up to 3% in a bonus, a merit bonus, they
there's
budget at 1.5.
Fund right there.
Huh?
There's your retained revenue fund right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I agree. Sorry, you first, then you.
I'm not trying to answer the question why, but what I do know since I've been sitting in this seat is twice since 2012 we had had to push over $1 million into our insurance pool because it was depleted. My speculation would be that they have probably padded that number in the budgets for the sake of keeping our insurance pool in a healthy state. I know that that discussion happened in the Gaming Enterprise Board meeting, which we all seem to draw from the same pool, although we're on different types of policies. And so it's been 3 years maybe since we've had to augment that pool with tribal dollars. So I don't know that that's the answer to the question, but that's the history and the knowledge I have in my mind.
Okay.
About that. And so to me it would make sense for our benefits to act in the same way, to augment the pool for insurance. So,
and I would agree with you, but I would think we've talked about an insurance fund in the past, but we don't really have one. So wouldn't those payouts revert back to the treasury if they aren't paid during the year? I mean, there's the disconnect I'm having. You see that number, but where does it go? And if it's not paid out, doesn't it go back? Congressman Potts.
No comment.
Yes.
I would agree with your take on that, and it's something that this body should have a hearing on and look into how that's handled. And if that's not subject to fiscal year limitations, then there really needs to be an established fund that either we look into or appropriate. I know we have appropriated money before, but I don't know what we appropriated the money to. So, because it's been years since we've done one. So now that we're talking about it, sure, I think we need to know how that works for the dollars of the nation.
Okay. Speaker.
I recall having a similar discussion about the insurance pool running dry or coming up short. And I do recall that ruffling some feathers. I am going to get to the bottom of that. I'm going to have a discussion and re-inform myself of the details on that, because I don't think that's entirely accurate. I think that's maybe something on the books that looks as if we're coming up short, but in reality we're not. So I do see this being tabled, and I'm going to come back with some facts, and I'm going to express that during the next legislative branch budget discussion, because I don't want to portray that HR or accounting is, or the nation in general, is coming up $1 million short, when in fact we're actually not.
Yes. All I know, Speaker Walker, is that they've actually come and asked for, I believe, $1.5 million one time in the past. I can't remember the other total, and it was requested for that purpose. So I'm, whatever the inner workings are of that, I'm not trying to say or not say. I just know from experience we have appropriated money for that purpose in the past. So I appreciate you investigating to find out further. I was not suggesting anything, and I think I even prefaced my comments with that, just that I was telling you my historic knowledge of what's happened.
It is true that there have been lump sum appropriations made because the nation is partially self-insured, and we've had to make a contribution in a lump sum that was over $1 million, I believe, at least twice that I can think of. Mm-hmm. Why that happened, the details of why that happened, if the speaker wants to do some historical research, perfect. But what's more important to me now is what happens with all this money that we're putting in that we know is calculated at both the employee and, it's not just the, is it just the nation's contribution part, or is it the employee and the nation's? It's the employee and the nation's contribution part. It's just the nation's contribution to a family plan times 12 times every employee, right? That is not the calculation that needs to be happening for those people that are by law entitled to take the cash equivalent or participate in the benefit package available to full-time employees. That's at its actual cost. Can I ask if anybody has, can we talk about the congressional meeting hearing? Does that include, I mean, every 2 years we put inauguration in there, does that include inauguration money to your knowledge, Congressman Potts?
That line is $10,000 less this year.
Okay. Did you have something else?
I did, but it's okay.
That's all right. Have at it. Nothing?
No comment.
Okay. I did.
Yes.
Looking at the revenue and expenditure sheets, yeah, I just feel like it's fair that I apply the same budget hoc or whatever to, you know, it's a question we've gone over in the past. And looking at our revenue and revenue and expenditure sheets, we have $780,000 left in our budget with August and September left. Looking at it a minute ago, it looks like we spent $130,000 during July. If we spend $260,000 left, we've got over $500,000 that we've unspent. There's a $500,000 that goes right into the revenue or the retained revenue fund. Are we getting in a situation where we're budgeting based on a flatline budget, or are we going to incur some major expenses in August and September? I don't know. I'm really asking that. I would gladly yield to former.
Can I ask the question? Is the occupancy, has that been revised based on this building?
It is not.
So there's one problem right there. We're paying occupancy, and this could be a criticism. We've been here for over a year now, and we're paying occupancy based on being at another location.
Do you have a remedy?
Yeah, tell them to calculate the occupancy based on the space that we're occupying here. That would be my remedy. Yes?
The new calculation for our space cost was requested within weeks of moving down here. We'd be able to receive a new number.
So that sounds like a speaker request to me.
Okay. Asking to charge us more, no problem.
Well, we just went through a situation where we were hearing that we're waiving space costs for certain departments. And
it's not happening anymore, so let's not go there.
Okay. Yes.
Madam Chair, Mr. Speaker, you are correct. That is a rather large amount. The reasoning for that, if you look at your professional fees line, that's the biggest hit. Since then, you've had attorney's fees come out for varying cases. In addition, the equipment acquisition line item was rather exhausted in the latter part of June, or sorry, July, for new member equipment. Other, I believe, will also take a hit in the next 2 months. That is more than normal. In the same line, occupancy will be charged at its current rate per month, so that line will take a relatively decent hit. Rental and equipment maintenance, moving down here. Again, those will be charged toward the end of the year. Conferences, special events, and meetings. I don't believe that this reflects all of the costs for inauguration, so you will see a big hit in conferences, conventions, special meetings, and events. In addition to that, typically that line item is hit significantly during session, so you will see a hit in the month of September. As far as operations expense, typically staff purchases equipment for the next session after the session. So operations expense will take a major hit leading into the HUNCA session at the end of this year. The travel line item has since been exhausted more than normal leading up to the end of the fiscal year. But again, the biggest contributor to your $780,000 is your professional fees. That is an area for the last 3 years that I've suggested as a budget analyst could be reduced. But typically Congress comes back and says, no, let's leave it where it's at because X, Y, Z.
And he's correct about the inauguration. The Congressional Affairs Committee did not have a meeting. So the executive branch was paying all the costs up to a point for the inauguration, but we budgeted, our budget is how much, 20? Congressman Foss, do you remember what the budget was for inauguration?
I believe in the budget was $10,000.
And then we shifted money.
The motion shifted to, I believe, 15. Might have been 20.
Okay. Whatever that is going to, that needs to be reconciled, because at one point the executive branch is going to realize, the Office of the Chief is going to realize they paid for the whole inauguration, almost the whole inauguration, and they are going to want that funding back, and we should do that because we agreed to pay this amount. However, we did also get that contribution from the Minerals Council, which will help offset that, so that was good. So that is true about that. And then also at the last Congressional Affairs meeting this week, wasn't there discussion about encumbering money for equipment, additional equipment, audiovisual equipment?
Potentially, yes.
So that would be another hit to, in essence, there's probably still money in the professional fees line item if there's not any court cases. Yes.
I realize it's nearly impossible to get down to zero, and I just think that it would be a good gesture if we could get down in there, look at our latest financials, see where we are, even if we can knock off $40,000 or $50,000 or $100,000 off of our budget request. I think it would reflect well on us, and you know how everyone else is being diligent about cutting costs. And I'm not trying to take the high road and be that guy, but I think we could I think we could.
I like it when you take the high road.
I think we could tighten this down a little bit.
All right. Without any further questions, I'll entertain a motion. In the meantime, get with the speaker and other people. Let's be ready to make amendments when I put this back on, because we're going to run into time crunch.
Okay.
But we've identified 50,000 at least. And I think, anybody else have anything? Chair will entertain a motion to postpone to the call of chair.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor, just signify by saying yes.
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 Any opposed? All right, next item on the agenda is ONCA 1842, an act to authorize and appropriate $412,000 to the Capital Asset Improvement Fund for the listed capital asset improvement projects, and to establish an alternate effective date. I am the sponsor, and I will tell you that Casey Johnson is here, and that this is literally what was submitted backing out.
Ma'am.
This was what was submitted to us backing out one project that was in another bill. So it's $412,000 of tribal revenue, $250,000 of it's for professional fees, and $162,000 of it is for capital asset WELA safe rooms. Let's see if we have any. Do you know where the budget support documentation is? Here's the support documentation. If I'm going too fast, you guys tell me.
She's supposed to hand over the chair.
Oh, yep. Congressman Potts. Oh, no, Congressman Big Horse. Wait, who is the vice chair of this committee? Congressman Big Horse. I just can't get.
You like control.
No, I just can't remember who's who. Well, maybe. Okay, there's not. That's everything we've done?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Congressman Big Horse, you're here.
Okay, do we have any questions?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
If she's gonna present the bill, I'll listen first.
Okay, Congresswoman Edwards.
Well, all I know is that there's two capital asset projects listed for the year. And that's the WELA Safe Room and the Wake and Iron Community Building Architectural and Engineering. So those would be the only. Of course, I don't see how that adds. 250, 30, oh. Maybe I need help from Mr. Johnson to see how that adds up.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If someone else has a question, they can go ahead and ask it. I have an amendment to offer.
Can somebody tell me how 250 and 162 adds up to 412?
Mm-hmm. 250 plus 162 equals 412.
Okay. Oh, God. I'm going 262. I apologize. take the calculator away from me. Okay, I'm not the chair.
Questions, Congressman Potts?
Go ahead and offer amendment. Page 1, line 35.5, tribal appropriations, strike 412 and insert 662,000. Adjust revenue accordingly. Page 1, line 44.5, under capital asset, insert a new line, law enforcement vehicle replacement rotation, in the amount of $250,000, and adjust totals accordingly.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This amendment is in line with a amendment initially offered in this committee during the discussion of the law enforcement budget. They have vehicles that are ancient. They are breaking down. They've expressed problems with maintenance. They've expressed problems with needing new vehicles. The only new car we've purchased in at least the last 4 years was purchased with money from an insurance check from other totaled vehicles. It's my understanding that the law enforcement officials requested this rotation be put in place many years ago. I don't believe it's been put in place. The need is there for new vehicles for our officers to be able to patrol and look after our assets. We just have a new asset in Osage County, a big casino. We've also got land that we've purchased. If we don't have the vehicles for them to be able to patrol that, we've got bigger issues. So this amendment is in line with support expressed by this committee. Hope it goes through. And one last thing. Again, as I said yesterday, I believe with 98% accuracy, I don't know if anything was made in health yesterday, but currently remaining in projected revenue is $296,401. This will not put us over projected revenue by my calculations. But again, I was not able to track what happened last night in health.
Okay, we have an amendment on the floor. Congressman Walker.
Speaking against law officers or I'm not going to go. There's a lot of things that are unpopular to speak against, but if we have $300,000 left, we're going to spend $250,000 on new police cars? We've got to leave us with $40,000 for the year in projected revenue?
Congresswoman Edwards.
Well, I have some amendments that are going to be proposed. I have a bill that's going to be proposed that would free up probably at least $250,000 and maybe $500,000.
Congressman Potts and then Congressman Walker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Perhaps members that were here before, when discussion of the initial rotation took place, might be able to provide some further insight. But it's my understanding near this amount was supposed to be spent at least every 2 years on the rotation of new vehicles, and we've put that off for, I believe, two or three times at this point. So yes, when we put off that maintenance and put off those capital expenditures, it hurts when it catches up.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Well, I'd like to hear from Mr. Johnson about this because, you know, I looked at a bill that's here to sponsor repair of a portico that's in dire need, as I understand it, and I drove by yesterday to look at another one of our historical buildings, the superintendent's house, and see that the fascia is rotting, the porch is it's in dire straits, and yet here's the proposal for, and I understand about safe rooms, but architecture and engineering on a community building over protecting and preserving historic buildings that we own, I'd like to see some prioritization, including we now own this building and we've got it deteriorating. So to me, when we do these capital asset projects, we've got to take care of what we own first before we take off on something new. So, but that being said, he's right. We knew that we had this issue with law enforcement vehicles years ago, and that's why they proposed this rotation and said, all right, rather than having to buy all new vehicles at once, we're going to rotate. And apparently never got implemented. So I think we should stand by that plan.
Congresswoman Whitehorn and then Congressman Walker.
I think somebody suggested that we hear from Mr. Johnson on this amendment, and also part of that question would be, I can't remember, but it seems like we're carrying some funds within the capital assets and improvement fund for the superintendent's house already that haven't been executed. Is that correct? First, do we have funds in the capital asset and improvement fund set aside for the superintendent's house? And second, I'd like to hear you speak to adding this amendment to this budget.
Mr. Johnson.
Okay, yes, ma'am. Without the information in front of me,
me either.
Please don't hold me to anything, seriously. I think what's in capital asset improvement for the super's house is design money. There's nothing to, and this is coming from an amateur carpenter and somebody that has fixed his parents' home and my home and, you know, all those types of things. I can tell you that the super's house, you're going to have to start with the foundation.
And
so there is not anywhere near the kind of money in cap assets to do what actually needs to be done to keep that building from eventually falling over. I mean, if you were to walk down the back staircase, it virtually is almost vertical because the back of the building is starting to sink. It's leaning. So there's a lot of structural issues that have to be answered, before anything else can really be done to it. So there's not near the money for that. There, I believe there is some design capital in there.
Thank you. I recall that too.
I think that's all it is.
I don't think that project has been started yet from the last time I got a report.
Well, and the reason we haven't started that is we'll have a design, but then what? You know, on it really.
A design for what?
What we're doing right now, and I've given very specific instructions to our grants department, is we're looking for grant funding for the restoration of historical buildings. I mean, they're all over that right now. I think I gave them that direction 2 months ago. So they're looking everywhere they can, very specifically for historical buildings. Congresswoman Edwards is correct. I was talking to Josephine this morning. The front of the Chiefs building. I mean, if you look up at the wood banister, it needs replaced. I mean, it looks like that. You know, so there are, I agree, there are those things we need to do. I've talked to Congressman Walker, and I don't know if he's agreed to sponsor a bill. There is leftover funds from some projects that are 100% complete, already capital asset, that money is to go back into the general fund when it's complete, to the tune of about $75,000 to $80,000. But the walkway between the IT building and the chief's office, the entire walkway is falling. It's cement. So, you know, it is a serious safety hazard. I was standing out there, a 20-pound piece of cement fell from the sky, so we've got it propped up with 3/4-inch plywood, 2x4s, and some added steel. So that's got to be fixed for nothing more than safety. You know, it has nothing to do with what it looks like. It's a safety hazard. So, you know, there are those things all over, and I realize that. We do understand that.
Mr. Johnson, would you address the need for the additional $250,000 for rotation of our police vehicles and the executive branch position on where that would fall in line with?
So on the organizational chart, the ONPD falls under the chief of staff, so I don't deal directly with ONPD. What I can say is, you know, and this is just a constituent saying this, every time I see an ONPD officer, they got a vehicle. I do know that we've had to turn our next track alerts off for the speed on those vehicles because it was constantly going off at 90 miles an hour or 100 miles an hour. I was leaving for the OU game on Saturday morning, and there's an OMPD car sitting on a wrecker because it was in a wreck. I mean, my opinion, and it's just an opinion, we need to treat these vehicles like we own them, because we do. You know, it's not just, hey, it's a vehicle. I mean, I drive my car every day. It's 3 years old. It's got 109,000 miles on it. Drive it back and forth every day. I've had nothing more done to it than change the tires and oil. You know, so if we take care of our vehicles, vehicles last, a while. Do we need new vehicles for the ranch and other places that we've got to go? Absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't want to take my car out to the ranch and drive those gravel roads. I have, but at very, very slow speeds, So we need, the police officers need those types of vehicles. And again, we're not really centrally located when you think that the casino's 60 miles away, our biggest casino's 60 miles away. Not only is it our biggest, but it's going to have the most issues legally, I'm sure, because of where it sits. I just don't know what the true need is. Again, they don't fall under me. I don't look at, how many necessary stops they make, how many arrests, how many of that stuff. So do they need some new vehicles? Yeah, $250,000 worth? I don't know. What kind of vehicle are we talking about? My car costs $24,000.
I've got a question for the movement. $250,000, what does that represent? Is it just a, and I'll leave it at that.
Congressman Bonds.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A fraction of what they truly needed, as expressed by, I believe, two officers that were sitting at the table.
I was here that day. I didn't want it.
Congressman Baker and then Congresswoman Edwards.
As I recall, when Chief Williams was here describing the urgent need for new vehicles, I say it's a critical need, urgent. I mean, the safety of our assets and property of the Osage Nation, as well as the tribal members in the villages and the ranch, I mean, this is urgent. These vehicles, they wear out. Yes, I know we have good maintenance. Yes, they can last maybe a few years more, but just mileage alone. And I think they even said that there was some incidents where some of our vehicles were broke down on the side of the road. Now, that'd be very embarrassing for me to the Osage Nation, the powerful, great little Osage Nation, to have broken down safety vehicles on the side of the road. We don't need that.
I believe that is correct, and the mileage on the vehicles we're speaking of was over 100,000, well over 100,000 miles. Congresswoman Edwards?
I move to postpone this bill to the call of the chair. Oh wait, first, if you want to vote, I'm sorry, withdraw. If you want to vote on Congressman Potts' amendment, mine, then I'm going to move to postpone to the call of the chair so that I can get with these folks and see what the real number is for capital assets in dire need of improvements for this year. I know there's one that Congressman Walker has a bill. Perhaps we can put it in this bill and that will address that need.
Okay, we have an amendment on the floor. Congressman Potts. Congressman Walker.
I have an amendment to the amendment.
Write it down.
What are the numbers? Can I just strike 250,000 throughout the amendment and insert a new number?
Yes.
Can we do, be good with that?
Yes.
Okay.
One,
yeah. The amendment to the amendment is to strike $250,000 and insert $150,000.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Discussion. Speaker.
I'm for $250,000 for new police vehicles, but I also sat through a meeting yesterday where our Mills on Wheels van has broken down, or two vans have broken down, and we have staff members of Title VI delivering meals in their own vehicles. They need new vans. And just if we do $250,000, Congresswoman Edwards is talking about amendments to reduce, but we're betting on the come then. I just, there's other needs out there. I think this is a $150,000 would go a long way. It would help the law enforcement get some new vehicles and get them headed in the right direction. So that's why I proposed this amendment. It's just a cost savings.
Well, I think we need to take care of what we have before we start undertaking something new. And this capital asset budget has something new in it. And I understand that that's a priority for that village, and I agree with it. But we need to prioritize, and it should have been, and to my way of thinking, it should have been, this year it's going to be this year it's going to be that, this year it's going to be the next thing, so that there was, over the course of about 8 to 10 years, you were able to achieve some of those priorities. But trying to do all of this in the span of 4 years has made no sense to me, and so now I think that you've got to, that was a commitment we made in the past. We need to honor that commitment as a Congress. We need to honor our past Congress.
We have had 12 years to prioritize things, and we're still not there. We are talking about the safety of this nation. We are expanding our casinos. We are getting more play in the ones that have been expanded. The villages are going neglected. We have drugs running in and out of our villages. So if I recall right, that was some of the conversation and dialogue that went on, and the mileage of the vehicles and them breaking down on the side of the highway. So we're here for health, education, and safety. Those are the three biggies with any government. So Congressman Potts, do you have any?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe from that meeting we gleaned that they needed more than this. This touches what they need. If we don't start with giving them the ability to keep safe what we have bought, what we've purchased, then we're setting ourselves up for that to not be taken care of. I agree with Congressman Edwards that we have to start taking care of what we see. In addition to the things that have been discussed by Mr. Johnson, the new buildings that we just bought have soffits that are broken. The AC's messed up, or the heating's messed up, take your pick on whichever season it is. The old congressional chambers still has issues, from what I've understood. Still had water piling up the other day when we went to take our congressional portrait, because rain gutters still haven't been cleaned out. I think that we're not looking after the assets that we have, and I agree that that's an issue. But if we don't start with the people that patrol and are charged with protecting those assets, how can we ever be expected to keep safe what we already pay for? I think this is a drop in the bucket. I think it's a start, and I think it is honoring a commitment for something that we said years ago we were going to do, and then we didn't do.
And I wholeheartedly agree with both Congresswoman Edwards and Congressman Potts. We do need to prioritize. Congresswoman Whiteman.
I was just wanting to get clear on the amendment and ask Congressman Potts if he would answer. Was $250,000 the dollar amount that was requested by the PD, and did they give you an idea of how many vehicles they thought they would get with that, that dollar amount.
Congressman Parks.
I'll have to go back and listen to that meeting. I believe they requested more, but I believe 250,000.
I believe we had to dicker a little bit with the...
Correct.
Okay, so that was the amount that you guys discussed at the committee meeting where, the PD was.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Reborn.
Chair, I would like to suggest, if you'd like, we could go back and get this supporting documentation for you regarding the vehicles. There's been a, it's going to be another blind appropriation. We're just saying 250,000. Let's get some better information from OMPD that states how many cars they have now, what years they are, what the mileage is, and what their needs actually are on paper. And let's get some quotes on new vehicles and see what they really need. It could be more than 250,000. It could be less, we don't know. It's just verbal at this point, but we can get that information today.
Congresswoman Edwards.
I'm satisfied that if you say this is the amount of money that you're getting and they won't know that till the 26th, they can find what kind of vehicles they need to match what they've got in the way of funding.
Okay.
You know what your budget is, you go buy the car you can afford.
We have an amendment on the floor. What's the committee's desire?
Let's vote on it.
Call the question.
Have a call for the question. That's a motion. Do we have a second?
We're on the amendment to the motion.
Yes, the amendment to the motion.
Second. Which is reduce 150 to
250.
250, sorry. Don't ask me about
this. This is the amendment to the amendment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Call for the
votes.
Yes, I seconded. And now I'm voting no.
Well, you're voting on the call for the question.
Do we want roll call or what?
Are we doing it? Oh, we're voting on the call for the question? Voice back,
draw the call for the question.
Okay.
Vote on the amendment.
All those in favor?
No, we're voting on the amendment.
This is for the amendment.
Yes.
Amendment
I got it.
To the
I'm
amendment.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I'm
okay,
gonna
all,
do a voice
all in favor? The amendment to the amendment? Seeing none, those opposed?
Yes.
Yes.
Amendment fails. Okay, we're back to the original amendment. Madam Clerk, could you please restate the original amendment?
Yes. The amendment is for page 1, line 35.5, travel appropriations to strike 412,000 and insert 662,000 and adjust revenue accordingly. Page 1, line 44.5, under capital assets, insert a new line, law enforcement vehicle replacement rotation, in the amount of 250,000 and adjust totals accordingly.
Okay, you heard the amendment.
Second.
I don't think anybody's called for the...
Well, you can call for the vote.
Okay.
Without anybody moving to do so, you can just go ahead and all in favor.
Okay. All in favor for the amendment?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
All opposed? Okay. Amendment passes. Congresswoman Edwards.
Move to postpone ONCA 1842 to the call of the chair.
Second.
A motion and a second. All in favor?
Yes. Yes.
Motion passes.
Move to adjourn.
No, recess.
Move to recess. Till 1 p.m.
Thank you.
Second.
Motion and a second to recess to 1 p.m. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Casey, can you get some numbers together for what it's going to take to do whatever needs to be done to preserve the superintendent's house as it stands and look and see what the appropriation was for?